thankful for the few people that's come out to the meeting. I want to say again that I'm not discouraged. I wish we had a tent full of people. Preachers like to preach to people, you know, because they sent to preach to every creature. And it's like a policeman told me one time. He said, "Now don't you go preaching to me." I said, "Yes, sir, I'll have to preach to you because you're a creature." And the Lord told me to preach the gospel to every creature. So I said, "I'll have to preach to you too." And because of that, well, we like to have as many people, you know, as we can get. But I want to say, as I have so many times, even two or three nights since we've been here, that I'm grateful to be here because of what God is doing. It's been a privilege in my life to walk with God, and I know that I'm no different from anybody else, that God has privileged others to walk with Him. But you know, a lot of people that have been privileged to walk with God hasn't known what God was doing and did not walk close enough with God to understand what was going on. But I've not only been able to walk with God, I've been privileged to walk with God, but I've been privileged to know what God was doing and why God was doing it until this very present hour. I'm privileged to know why that I am in New Mexico and what God is doing and what effect it will have on the people, on the church world. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but what God does has, it affects the entire universe. A lot of people pay very little, you know, just hardly notice what the church does, or pays very little attention to what the church does, not realizing that the whole world orbits around the church. And what the church does affects the entire livelihood, means, and transitions of life. Folks don't know that. You know, they just look at the church and they think, well, that's a separate body, you know, from the functioning of the states and different things and the people's activities out yonder. But really, it is the seed of the whole thing. The church is the seed of the whole thing. What the church does determines what's going to happen to the people out yonder in the world, whether their businesses are going to continue or whether they're going to fall, or whether they're going to have a good life, or whether they're going to have a poor life. It's what happens to the church that determines that. How do you know that that's true? So I say again, I'm glad to be here. Not, I'm not going to rush into this thing. Just, you know, take my time. I come down here and I try to preach, but you just rush right into things and try to pacify the people. But I learned that that doesn't work. And so, here tonight, I'm just going to take my time and talk with you. That's just what I'm going to do. That's what I did last night. If I preach to you, if I don't, I'll just talk with you. But I'm going to talk with you. How many of you really realize that something is taking place here in this area that has never took place before in the history of mankind? How many of you really realize that and believe that in the small congregation tonight? It really, truthfully is. Something is taking place that will affect the church world. When I'm gone from this place, afterwards the people of New Mexico will see it. Whether they won't understand that it stemmed from this one little meeting, but they'll see the great change that will take place. It'll be so radical that even they themselves will see it. All around the nation it will be seen. In the church world it will be seen. And from this meeting things will begin to convert to Pentecost. And like I said last night, the Baptists will start speaking in tongues. Yeah. And the Catholics will start speaking in tongues. Watch and see. The Methodists will start speaking in tongues. And they'll approve it, and a great charismatic move will completely swallow them up. And when it does, they are a number one candidate for hell. I said the worst thing that ever happened to them is when they all started speaking in tongues, when they all get the feeling that God has brought the truth to them, and they're all right with God. It's the worst thing that ever happened to them, because it'll be the end of the trail for the church world and be the end of the trail for the world around us. and it'll be the worst thing that ever happened to them. Anytime the world turns religious, it is the worst thing that could happen to them. The Bible teaches that I would that you were hot or cold. As long as you're drunkards and harlots and cold and don't know nothing about God, God will be merciful to you and send preachers to you and work with you and try to strengthen you and try to help you. And when you get on fire for God and start living for God and go out into the highways and hedges to compel them to come into His house, God will bless you. But when you get religious and you get in between and you know about God, you don't really serve God, you're just religious and you want to go with the church and you want to be part of the functioning of the body of Christ like Ananias and Sapphira, then you're in bad shape. The Lord said, in that day, I'll spew them out of my mouth. And the whole world realizes by now that they have not succeeded in what they've tried to do as far as putting their program over, that it's failed through, and their great orators can't save them. Their great intellectual scholars can't help them. Their business is about to fold up and everything is caving in on their head. Their nation is crumbling. All of their supplies, all and whatnot, have gluttonously been used up by them being so gluttonous, so selfish. And now there's only one thing for them to do, and that's turn to God. They're not going to serve God, but they're going to turn to God, expecting God to fill in and make up for their lack, that they might continue in the hog pens of the world. After the sow has been washed, Jesus said she'll go straightway back to her wallowing in the mire. After the dog has spit up his vomit, the Bible said he'll return and go right back and start lapping his own vomit. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I don't believe God talks like that, but He does. That's what Jesus said. That's the Word of God. A lot of people expect the minister to come, you know, and he puts on a little show, or he's real kind and considerate. And I know that he's supposed to be that way. And if that minister ever does get just a little bit out of sorts, they feel like that the Spirit of God's departed. And if he ever says anything that's cutting or correcting, they feel like that God's departed. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? You ought to read from 1 Samuel, I believe it's the 11th chapter, about the 6th and 7th verse. And you'll find out that God doesn't always do things the way that you think He does. You ever read about the 6th or 7th verse there, where the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon Saul and said immediately he became angry? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that when the Spirit of God comes on somebody, they get angry. The Bible said the Spirit of God came upon Saul and he got angry and he took a sword and hewed to pieces a whole yoke of oxen and then warned the people and said, the ones that doesn't gather said, this will be done to you and yours. And 300,000 men came together out of fear of Israel and 30,000 out of Judah. The Spirit of God doesn't work like you think it does it? The Spirit of God came upon old brother Samuel and the Bible said he hewed Agag to pieces. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's good, isn't He? But God does things in strange ways, not the way that you think. He does it the way He wants to do it. One of these days, God's Spirit's going to begin to move and God's going to tear this world to pieces. The Bible said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Right now, God's tearing people to pieces on the highways, in plane wrecks, in wars. They're taking them apart in hospital. They're making guinea pigs out of them. God's tearing them to pieces because they forgot God. And the Bible said, inasmuch as they did not like to retain God, in their knowledge, God has given them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The man leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly. They just discovered in Atlanta, Georgia, 150,000 sodomites or perverts just in Atlanta, Georgia alone. Hundreds and thousands and millions of them in the world today. God has given them over to a reprobate mind. A lot of people think, you know, that if you're a pervert, that's a reprobate mind. But did you know there's more to it than that? How many of you know there's more to it than that? Hallelujah. Sometimes you can think you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. That's a reprobate mind. Sometimes you can be so religious that you completely, religiously cut yourself off from God and got a reprobate mind, and nobody can't tell you anything. Because you don't judge anybody by the Bible. You judge everybody by what you think about it. That's a great mistake, folks. I learned years ago not to judge people by what I think, but to judge people by what God has said. I want to read just a little bit out of the Bible here. I've come a number of nights with something in mind to minister. But every night I felt checked. Every night that I thought of bringing out some spiritual revelation or getting in some real things of God, I always feel God checked me for some reason. He does that. Some places I go, He never lets me bring out anything. Some places He will. But here, so far, I felt Him check me on it. And I try to do the very best I can in going His way. You know, there's a place that you come to in the Lord that you do what God says do. Now, when you first start off, you know, you got a lot of zeal and a lot of ego and a lot of ambition, and you go where you want to and do what you want to, and you feel like God will honor it, and He does. Consequently, God does, in that you're trying to do something for God, and God, He honors it. He walks with you, and He helps you. But I want you to know that's not like walking with God and God telling you where to go and when to go and what to do and how to do it. There's a world of difference when you come into God. And I am thankful tonight because I have come to the place to where I understand those things. And because of that, my life has been full and rich. I want to read just a little bit from chapter 8 tonight, if you've got your Bibles. I don't know just which direction I'll take. My heart is burning with the fire of revelation and the great things of God. And yet I know that just a little simple message of exhortation is what I have been able to get over here, and perhaps is all that I'll be able to get over while I'm here. Because the Lord creates an atmosphere to let me know whether or not I should get into anything that's deep. And we do get into the things that are deep. The Bible said the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. God, how many of you know God's got a lot of great things that you've never seen? A lot of things the Church of God don't know nothing about. A lot of things the Assemblies of God don't know nothing about. A lot of things the UPC don't know nothing about. A lot of things the non-denominationals don't know nothing about. God's got a lot of things hid. You know, men have surveyed the nation, went all over the country, and they've looked and they've figured they had just about everything, you know. Figured out, and they'd seen about everything. And about that time, God uncovered what we call the caves, the caverns back over here, and all of a sudden, man found out that God had some concealed revelation, didn't he? Go down in there, and it's astounding to get into the big room and see what's down there. And all of a sudden, after they thought they was just about down to the end of things, God let them break through space, get up there in the galaxies and begin to explore things, and found out there's a great heaven full of revelation. Isn't that right? It's the same way with the church world. They figure they've got everything figured out, everything defined down. But I want you to know that God somewhere has got a great revelation and a lot of hidden mysteries that He'd like to share with the church. Hallelujah. I want to read just a little bit from St. Matthew's chapter 8. Verse 18, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. You know, there's really something in what I'm saying here tonight. It is a true fact that people will allow something to live inside of them that even the hogs won't put up with. The Bible said when the devils had been cast out of this man, that they went into the herd of swine, and the herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the waters and perished before they would give place to the devil. The Bible tells us not to give place to the devil, and a lot of people give place to the devil. But the hogs, before they would put up with devils, the Bible said they ran violently down a steep place into the waters, and there they perished in the waters before they put up with unclean spirits. We can get a lesson there from the hogs, can't we? A lot of people are in worse shape than the pigs. But I thank God tonight that there are still people in the world that love the Lord and that has faith, that won't give place to spirits, and that's willing to see the gospel go forth into the world to try to clean up the hog pens of the world and get the devils out of people. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we've got people tonight, still in the world today, that are still concerned, that want to do something for God. Ain't you? I'm glad tonight that we've got people that's not like the people of the Gergesenes. People that came out when the Lord had worked a great miracle. They came out, and instead of getting in revival, the Bible said that they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Isn't that something? I said instead of joining in with God and having a great revival, the Bible said that these people, because they saw that something was taken away from their belly, the Bible said all of their labors for their belly, for their belly is their God, and their belly craves it of them, and because God had taken something away from their belly to deliver a man, they wanted Christ to depart out of their coast. Somebody would say, I wouldn't mind seeing a tent revival come, but the only thing about it, when it comes to town, it takes something out of my belly. I have to put a dollar in the offering. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Instead of coming out and saying, Lord, oh God, there's a great thing been done in our city, And we see the mighty, magnificent hand of God and the power of deliverance. And we see this man that's been delivered and restored to his family. And this great miracle that's taken place. And instead of coming out and saying, Lord, we praise you. And we give glory to you. And we pray that you'll never depart from our coast. But that you'll make your abode with us and stay here with us. Instead of that, they got to thinking about the hogs that are drowned. Got to thinking about what they lost. And they wanted to get rid of Christ. And they said, sir, would you depart from our coast? Would you go and leave us alone? Isn't that the way it is with the world? I made the statement last night. I speak it a little bit last night. The Bible said, beware of men. It didn't say beware of animals, but it said beware of men, for men will deliver you up to the council. Men will scourge you. You know, as you travel through the world, you have trouble out of men. Men won't stand with you. Men will criticize you. You can feed them. You can nourish them. But when those men get to your back, those men will tie you down. Those men will stab you in the back. Those men will hinder what you're doing. God can send a minister into a town to establish your work or set up a church, and men will persecute him. And they will tie him down, and they'll do everything they can to stop that thing from taking root. Why? They don't know why they do it. They just want to do it. There's something that's just mean and contrary about men. The powers of Satan has possessed them, and there's something about them that's just mean and contrary. A lot of times they want to cut the tents down. They've been known to burn the tents. They've been known to cut the tents down. They've been known to blow up churches. Why? They have no reason for it, but they just love to do those things. Beware of men, said, for they will persecute you. They will persecute you. They'll blaspheme the worthy name by which you're called. Men will do that. Jesus went into this place, worked a great miracle. But did the people receive it? What they wanted to do was get rid of Jesus. You know why? The Bible said, for this condemnation. For this condemnation. That light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want you to preach the gospel because their deeds are evil. And they know that you'll uncover their evils. And you'll tear down the frolics that they built up. They're evil. They're wicked. Beware of men. Because these men will persecute you. Jesus came into the city. He healed the eyes of the blind. He made the blind to see. He made the dumb to talk. And the Bible said he did all things well. He fed the widow. He helped the poor, the needy. And then when the Jews came around, a bunch of religious proselytes, they began to persecute him. And Jesus said, let me ask you a question. He said, for what good work do you want to stone me? They said, for a good work we don't want to stone you. But you being a man, make yourself God. In other words, that is to say, we enjoy the healings. We're glad that you bring miracles. We're glad to get healing for our body. The tares love the rain just like the wheat does. We're willing to share in the blessings of God. In other words, we'll take the good things of God, but we still want to stay in the hog pens of the world. We don't want any life. We don't just tell us the truth. For this condemnation, this is the condemnation that's come into the world. Because light has come into the world. Men's deeds are evil, and they love the wages of unrighteousness, and they love the things of the world, and they don't want you to tear them down. They don't want you to tell them that they can't drink, and they can't have their petting parties, and they can't frolic with men and women. They don't want you to tell them that. They don't want you to tell them that they can't have a little drink on the side. They don't want you to tell them you got to support the gospel and see the things you've done right. They don't want you to reprove them. They don't want you to raise up a standard of holiness. Hallelujah. They're just as religious as you are. They'll go anywhere you want to go. They'll do anything you want to do. But brother, when you preach the word of God and you bring light to them,
They don't want the light. You could come through town and have a healing campaign and do nothing but pray for the sick. And let God heal and come into town and do something just healing people and blessing people and never tell them about their evil. Never tell them about their wrong. They flock into the tents. They flock into the churches. But if you ever lift up a standard against them, against their evil ways of doing, their evil ways of dressing, the evil things that they say, they want to excommunicate you. They said, would you please get out of our coast? Say, what's the matter? You're troubling our congregation. Our doctrine don't agree with what you said. Our preacher doesn't believe like you believe. Say, why don't you come out to the revival? Our preacher said he didn't believe like you believe. How does he know he doesn't believe? He's never heard me. He's never been out. He doesn't know what to believe. Amen. He's drawn up in his shell with his little congregation. Got him around him. And one day God will crack the old shell. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he'll take those shepherds down and those ministers down and raise up shepherds after his own heart. The very fact that I'm here tonight denotes a great and a mighty thing taking place. Hallelujah. God started to move a few years ago. And that move was a Jesus name move that God raised up in the power of God, miracles and signs and wonders. And that great move of God went into a Trinitarian veil because the light was too bright and people couldn't receive it. God let a Trinitarian veil drop over it that he might protect the people and just break it to them a little at a time, just to glory, to bring them into his presence. Hallelujah. And God, because of that, he let them hold on to some of their petting parties and their little sidelines and different things. But he brought grace and he brought kindness, he brought humility, he brought love, he brought prosperity, he brought blessings. Men like Oral Roberts, God let him preach prosperity. Men like A.A. Allen, let him preach prosperity. Inspire the people's faith, not requiring anything, just giving grace so that they could believe. And the world was in a stupor at that time. But God's lifted him up out of poverty, and God's brought him into fine homes and fine automobiles and fine raiment and money and converts. He's brought them into Canaan. But the Bible said, beware. When you get into Canaan, when you get full, you'll turn and say, who is this God that I should serve him? Hallelujah. God's brought them to fine homes, fine cars. He's brought them to the refiners of life. He's given them the best to eat. They ride up and down the highways and they're full. Their children are educated in fine colleges. They have money laid up in the bank. They have fine raiment. But now they've forgotten God. And they say, who is this God? Why should we go to that little tent? Why should we go to church? Why should we serve God? They're fed to the full. And now they say, who is this God that we should serve him? Who is this Jesus that we should serve him? Fed to the full. But I want you to know that God is about to change the trend of things. That went into a Trinitarian veil, and God allowed him to approach it in that Trinity veil like he did when Moses came down off the mountain, and the people said, it's too bright for us. And the Bible said God put a veil over Moses' face, and the people said, you intercede to God, and let God speak to us through you, Moses. And the Bible said that God spoke to them through Moses. Spoke through the veil, and so it's been. In this Trinitarian move, it's been too bright in the Jesus name move. Amen. So God let him set up a Trinitarian veil. Hallelujah. I know that he allowed the UPCs to go on. How the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at least keep the baptism in Jesus' name up. But brother, I want you to know the move of God, baptism in Jesus' name, is just the very beginning of it. That's just the very principles of the foundation of it. The UPC has done Jesus' name baptism, just like the Trinity has done speaking in tongues. Hallelujah! If you can't say hallelujah, I can. I said, the UPC has done baptism in Jesus' name just exactly like the Trinity has done speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. They sat down on it, made a doctrine out of it, used it for money and prestige, and to build them a movement and fuss and argue over everything else. One of them took the initiative to tell a man of God that's sitting here that the reason they couldn't work with him, because when he come to town, he didn't ask them if he could come in. Since when did Peter ever go to town and say, Paul, can I have a revival? Hallelujah. Amen. I said, since when has Brother Taylor got to go into a city and say, Brother Pike, is it all right for me to have a revival? Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad you said that, because I felt like that all the time. I know you bunch of hypocrites that wants to jump the gun, that wouldn't follow leadership, not going to listen to overstarting anything else. God's going to send you to hell too. I'm not supporting your cause in case that's what you got in mind. Amen. I believe in oversight. I believe in leadership. I believe that you ought to follow God. I'm not against organizations. I'm not against oversight. I'm not against people that have come together as the UPC or the Assemblies of God or anything else, as far as they're coming together, constituting a body of protection and trying to be in a oneness. I'm against the contrary teachings of God and the doctrines of God that's contrary to God, that they've taken from something outside of the Word of God. I'm contrary to it. Amen. There is but one faith that cometh by the hearing of the word, my brothers and sisters. There is but one God. There is but one faith. There is but one baptism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, that one baptism is baptism in Jesus' name. I believe that. Somebody said that one baptism is baptism in the Holy Ghost. I believe that. Somebody said, I believe it's in water. I believe that. Somebody said, I believe it's in the Spirit. I believe that. Somebody said, I believe it's fire. I believe that. But I believe it just like I believe there's a Father. I believe there's a Son. I believe the Holy Ghost. But I believe these three are one. Hallelujah. I believe the baptism is one. I believe you ought to be baptized in Jesus' name and water. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost and the fire of God burn the chaff out of your life. I believe these three are one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Part out of our coast. What you want us to leave for? We can't support your revival. You're killing our hogs. Amen. Jesus said the pig would go back to the wallowing in the trough, didn't he? Go back to the mire. Said you're scattering our hogs. You're getting our hogs upset. They want to commit suicide. Amen. This does upset folks, John. Amen. You go into a town and they say, bless God, we're not going to support you. Say, why ain't you going to support us? Because you didn't come in and ask us if you could come in that city. Can't you just see me? I come in, I go to the UPC preacher, and I say, kind sir, would you permit me to come into your lovely city and run a revival? I go to the Church of God, and I say, kind sir, would you permit me to come to your lovely city and run a revival? God didn't tell me to go to the UPC. God didn't tell me to go to the Church of God. God told me to come to New Mexico and preach the gospel. When I leave here, the Church of God will know that I've been here. When I leave here, the UPC will know I've been here. And when I leave here, the Baptists will know I've been here. And the Methodists will know I'll be here. And everybody else who's got a religious movement will know that I've been here. The Brother Burnham followers will know that I've been here. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. You feel like traveling on? Say amen. Hallelujah. God is doing something, my brother. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I ain't trying to work up nothing up here. I'm not trying to manufacture nothing. I don't believe it's by power. I don't believe it's by might. I believe it's by the Spirit. Paul said, I ministered unto you the Spirit. And faith coming by the hearing of the word. And Jesus said, my words are spirit. This is the spirit, the only spirit I know. Somebody said, we shout, we speak in tongues, we dance, we run and holler. But they said, the letter killeth and the spirit maketh alive. They said, we don't need that Bible. But my brother, when God said the letter killeth, he wasn't talking about the word of God. Jesus never called this no letter. He said, my words are spirit and my words are life. This is the only spirit there is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was spirit. And the Word was God, who is a spirit. When Jesus said the letter killeth, he was talking about the law. The law demanded perfection without an element of grace. But God brought his Word, brought his Son, to give us an element of grace that we might perfect our lives before God. But I want you to know something, folks. He just didn't do that so we can trample the blood of Jesus under our feet, treat it as an unholy thing, not really preach the gospel, not really live right, just kind of flounder around like an old fish in a pond. God never give us grace for that. He never give us grace, as some of these preachers preach, to condone our evil and allow us to continue on in the things of the world. He never gave us grace for that. What did he give us grace for? So that we could have an allotted time to where we can conform to the lovely image of the darling Son of God. He give us a grace period to where he doesn't have to destroy all of us, doesn't have to do away with all of us, so that we can have time to perfect our lives and come into a oneness with the Word, that we might be preserved. The Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word will never pass away. Unless we can come into a oneness with the Word, my brother and sister. Unless we can transformate our lives to be part of the Spirit and part of the Word. We'll never get into that city. We're going to pass away just like everybody else unless we're one with the Word. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm a preacher. That don't make any difference. Somebody said, but I fast and pray. That don't make any difference. Hallelujah. Israel fasted and prayed. Israel was God's leading people. Israel was the head of the nation. But God didn't make them the head of the nation because they fasted and prayed and because they felt like they were the head of the nation. As a matter of fact, God made them the tail, didn't he? He said, Israel, when you humble your haughty heart, when you get down out of your ritualistic practices, and when you realize that you're nothing but dust, Job, then I'll raise you up. Old brother Job, he complained. He said, I lived a good life. I've done right. I've hoped the winner. He said, I've done what I'm supposed to do. And here you are, all these things coming down on me. I don't understand it. I'm filled with confusion. He said, if I knew the way to your house, he said, I'd come over there to see you. And I'd talk this thing out with you, and I'd tell you what I've done. God said, that's all right, son. I'll come down there. If you can't find the way to my house, I'll just take a shortcut, and I'll come down to your house, and then you can tell me about it. And God came down there and he stood before Job and he said, all right, Job. He said, I'm here, Job. He said, now where was you, Job, when I hung the morning stars? Hallelujah. Before the morning stars they were sang together, when the sons of God leap for joy. He said, where was you, Job? Hallelujah. He began to ask Job a few questions. Job couldn't answer them. Hallelujah. The church world today said, I'm sick. Something's wrong with me, Lord, and you promise. Oh, they beat the pillars and they beat the floor and they cry. And they say, Lord, you promised, and God, you said you'd heal us. And God, you said you'd do this, like down in Babylon. When Israel got down in Babylon, they began to say, Lord, you said you'd do this. And Lord, you said you'd do that. And Lord, we're your chosen people. And Lord, here we are down here in the wilderness. Or down here in Babylon. And we've hung our hearts on the willers, and we don't have any joy anymore, Lord. Lord, have you forsaken your people? God forbid. He hadn't forsaken Israel. He was only chastening Israel. Israel had been a rebellious people. He said, Israel, you think you're good. He said, I never chose you because you're a great people. He said, you're few in number. I never chose you because you live so holy. He said, because you've been a rebellious people. He said, I chose you for one purpose, and that purpose you never fulfill, and that was to make a name for myself. Look at the church world. You didn't choose the church of God, the assemblies of God, the Pentecostal wholeness, and all the rest of them, because they were a great people. They were few in comparison to the other church world. He never chose them because they lived better. They wear pedal pushes and paint their face up and bob their hair off, go to the movies and swim in pools and everything else in the world. Frolic and fuss and fight and drink and cheat, lie and swindle. Somebody said, you talk about God's people like that. I said last night, the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins and the house of Jacob of their transgressions. He said, they take pleasure in coming unto me. Delight before me as one that's done the will of God. You love the Lord? I never chose you for those things. He said, but I chose you to make a name for myself. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. But you don't hear him say nothing about Jesus, do you? I said, they don't say nothing about Jesus. He said, I chose you to make a name for myself. But the one thing that God chose them for is the thing that they rejected, and that's the name Jesus. The very thing he asked them to do was to lift up the name of Jesus. Raise up the name of Jesus. Talk about the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. Lift up the name Jesus. We should be praising the name Jesus. The Bible said, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I chose you for one purpose. And that's to make myself a name. And that's the one thing that you wouldn't do. You wanted a name called the Church of God. You wanted a name called the Assemblies of God. You wanted a name called the UPC. You wanted a name called this and that and everything else, Jesus said. You've got a name that you live, but you're dead, Jesus said. Said the church world, Laodicea, lukewarm. Blind, wretched, naked. And I counsel you to buy fine raiment. Some of this faith has been tried in the fire. I wonder if you've ever been through a trial. I wonder if you've ever been through a heartache. I wonder if you've ever been through a woe. I wonder if you've ever had to use your faith. I'd like to know if you've got into this faith that's ever been through the fire, Jesus said. I ask you to show me some of this faith that's been tried in the flames. You've never known nothing but a silver spoon and an air condition. I said, you've never known nothing but fine raiment. You've never known nothing but securities in the bank. You've never known nothing but just a good income. But I'd like to meet some of these people Jesus said that's got faith. Some of this faith has been tried in the fire. I wonder if we've got anybody here that's ever been to the fire. I wonder if we've got anybody here that's ever put their faith to the test. Hallelujah. And had to get off and do something for God. That's what he's looking for. Hallelujah. He said, the only fine raiment I know is the body of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm looking for that fine raiment. Can you buy the fine raiment, he said. Hallelujah, which is the righteousness of the saints. Are you bold as bone and flesh as flesh? Are you? I counsel of you, you buy me some fine raiment. He said, I purchased it at Calvary. It cost me my life. I spilt my blood. I waded through the chambers of hell. I was able to purchase the fine raiment, but can you purchase any of it? Hallelujah. He said, it's high price raiment. I said, it's high price raiment. Can you purchase any of it? He said, this faith I'm talking about, it's been tried in the flames of hell. I've waded through the flames of hell, Jesus said, that you might have the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. He said, can you get a hold of any of this faith? Hallelujah. Somebody said, I believe. I belong to the Methodist Church. I believe. I belong to the Baptist Church. I believe. I'm Church of God. I believe. I'm Assembly of God. I believe. I'm UPC. I believe. I believe you need to be born again. That's what I believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, that's what I believe. I believe you need to be born again. I think God needs to shake up Carlsbad, New Mexico. Amen. If he sent a few of these tornadoes through here that he showed me here a while back, he's going to sweep the land with. Just a few more of them, they might be ready to go to church. Hallelujah. I got a feeling he's going to do it. I got a feeling he's going to send them some more tornadoes. And they're going to get acquainted with something after we leave from here. I said, I got a feeling they're going to get better acquainted with God after we leave from here. I got a feeling the church of God's going to get better acquainted with God. The Assemblies of God, the UPC, and the Brother Branham Fowler, and all the rest of them. I got a feeling the businessmen and different ones going to get better acquainted with God. I made the statement here not too long ago. I went into Monroe, Georgia, and the police got on my back and kept riding me, and everything I'd done, they kept giving me trouble. I hadn't caused them any problem at all, but they just wanted to pick and find fault. I got down on my knees and I said, God, I want you to get them people off of my back. I want you to shake them people up. I want you to let something happen to them. And God began to send tornadoes to that place and tore it to pieces. Them things happened toward the last of the week. And I want you to know by Monday morning, as quick as the sheriff could get a letter in the mail, he sent me and my people a letter saying, we make you honorary citizens of Monroe, Georgia. Get off our back and left us alone. Amen. Cause bad needs some shaking up. Maybe New Mexico needs a new move. Hallelujah! I said maybe she needs a new move. Maybe God needs to pay a little visit. If people are too starchy to come out to church, if people are too religious and they're settled in their own ways, maybe God needs to shake them up a little bit. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't believe God will do it because I'm here. I was over younger, but he still done it. I said I was over younger, but that didn't stop him. When he got ready to do it, he done it. Hallelujah. I know one thing. We made a 6,000-mile tour that took us out into Hollywood, out into Anaheim, down into different places, giving out literature and testifying of God. I'd been to those places preaching the gospel in years gone by, but I decided as Paul just to go back, give out a little literature and talk to somebody and see if I could tell them something about Jesus. When I got down here to El Paso, which is only about 160 or 65 miles from here, I started to cross El Paso, and the darkness fell, and God said, I want you to spend a night here. I got in there. I spent the night. And while I was there spending the night, God gave me a visitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came into my room and began to talk with me. The Lord showed me tornadoes fixing to strike. And I raised my hand to heaven and I said, Lord, spare my children. And God let the tornado came and it wrecked the building. But my children were spared. I came out of the vision. I told Brother Taylor, I went on back to Monroe, Georgia. All of a sudden, the worst tornado break that had ever hit the world. I said, Brother Taylor, I said, according to what I understand, according to the judgments of God, according to the revelation of God, I said, judgment's going to start striking the earth. Immediately, they spotted at least 60 tornadoes at one time. Said never in the history of the world that they knew of had tornadoes ever struck so fiercely and so many at one time. All of a sudden the papers published that the dreaded black plague that hit over in the foreign countries years ago had come back again, had come over to South America and was sweeping the country again as it was in the days of old. All of a sudden, the floods came out down in the lowlands and began to flood things and tear things. Epidemics begin to hit. Plagues begin to hit. Things begin to happen. Some kind of beetles and bugs and what have you begin to bite the children and give them certain fevers. All kind of things begin to take place. The crisis begin to hit. And the food began to get out of the reach of the people and the money began to go out on them. All of a sudden they found out their oil was given out and they had to begin to search for new sources. Why? Because God showed the hour's upon us, the hour's here when God's going to make a change. Amen. God's let the world frolic. He's let them ride in the fine cars. He's let them have the fine homes. His people had to wander about like they did in the days of old. In caves and dens and tents and sleep anywhere. Do anyway. Live anyway. But God's fixing to change the picture, my dear brother.
God's fixing to switch things over. Hallelujah. There's going to be a change. The song said there'll be a change after a while. I believe the after a while's done got you, Brother Paul. I believe we're living in God's after a while, don't you? So then, things begin to happen. Lord, bear me record, I tell the truth, as Paul said. I lie not my conscience, bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. It was this very year, before the year thoroughly broke, I got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, I'm so weary of tornadoes. I said, people are weary of tornadoes. I said, everywhere, little children are being killed. I said, everywhere, mothers are being killed. I said, things happen. I said, Lord, be merciful to us. I said, Lord, please, this year, give us a little peace. I said, the people are so weary, their nerves are breaking down. I said, give us a little peace, Lord. I said, hold back the tornadoes this year and let the tents go up and let God preach to them again, Lord. And I bear your record, God's held them back this year. Amen. Hallelujah. He's held them back. He's given us a little more time. But folks, you better run for your life because it isn't over. It isn't over. The judgments of God are due to come. Everything is going to take a flop and a fall. It's due to come. God's hold it back just a little bit longer for you to get your bearings and change over and get right with God. How merciful He is. Hallelujah. I feel God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the concern of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Things are taking place. People don't want to line up. They don't want to get right with God. They don't want to change their wicked ways. The church world is going into a great stage of calamity. And they don't realize it. Did you know it's a true fact that the Assemblies of God already, one of the greatest leading Pentecostal movements in the world, not to say that the Baptists and the Methodists, for they've already done it, but the Pentecostal people, the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, I've got official documents at home that show that they're already affiliated with the National Council of Churches, already lined up with the Confederation of the Image of the Beast. I got the proof of it at home. I got it on paper. I got the page and book you can find it in where the facts are published. They don't want you to know it. The UPC is going to join up with them too. As a matter of fact, I understand they already have. But they're going to join up with them. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pine? I mean that there's a lot of good people in the UPC that love God, a lot of good holiness people. But they've got like the Jews. Some of them got self-righteous. And they feel like God can't do nothing without them. That's the way the Jews was when God walked off and left them. Hallelujah. There's a lot of good people in the Church of God. A lot of people that love God. A lot of people in the Assemblies of God. They love God. A lot of men there that I personally have known about that secretly baptized in Jesus' name. But afraid to confess Christ or they'll turn them out of the synagogue. I happen to know that some of their evangelists and some of their leaders are in that kind of condition. Just like when my Betty and myself here, preaching out here in Anaheim, California, for the full gospel businessmen. And while I was preaching out there for them, the Lord told me that the axe is laid under the root of the tree. And I wanted to preach something else, but I got down there and I began to preach. And I began to preach the axe is laid under the root of the tree. And they fell down on their face and began to weep before God and found out the leaders was baptized in Jesus' name and keeping it from the people. Church of God that I preached in over here in Elberton, Georgia. When I preached to them, God let me in there and I preached the gospel to them. And here come one of the leading evangelists in there that's been supported by that very church where I was at for years. Hallelujah. There's so much I'd like to say to you tonight. There's a confederation coming, my brothers. There's a changeover. The old veil is going out and the old denomination is going to fall. And God's going to raise up some shepherds after His own heart that'll feed the flock and not strip them of every dime they got and feed themselves. Amen. And this New Mexico meeting positively has to do with the change of it. That's why I'm glad that I'm here. It has to do with the entire change. Hallelujah. I've made a lot of predictions and God's been good to me. They came to pass. Of the great men and the little men and the national affairs and the local affairs and the church affairs and so forth.
God's been good to me, Brother John. He's been good to me. But I'm honest with him. I love him. I love his people. I'm not trying to hurt them and mislead them. Not trying to take them in. My motives are not wrong. I'm not working gimmicks and selling shoestring and holy water. Amen. I'll give you some holy water where you won't ever have to thirst no more. But I'm not working gimmicks. Hallelujah. I don't make allowance for all kind of worldliness. The world loves its own. It flocks to the basketball games. It flocks to the things of this world. And when you have a tent revival where everything is going pretty, according to the world and the flesh, they flock to it too. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. That water tasted so good. I thought I was cut off one time. If you've never felt like you was cut off, you don't know what I'm talking about, folks. The Lord knew what He was going to do with my life, and He didn't want to make any mistakes. And He didn't want me to be up and down and in and out, so He got me off to a good start. Before He ever put me in this ministry, He let me think that I'd blasphemed the Holy Ghost and crossed over. And I was so miserable. I was so wretched. I was torn. I prayed. I got down on my knees and I'd pray. And while I was praying, there was something ringing in my ear saying, what good is it? Say, I'll go to God. What good is it? I'll call on the name of the Lord. What good is it? I'll get a preacher to pray for me. What good is it? Everything I thought that I could do, something would say, too late. Too late. Like the flames of hell crackling under your feet as you begin to walk. Miserable, wretched, torn, horrible. Every minute, knowing there's one heartbeat between you and the flames of hell and no hope. Life seems short and worthless. Your car doesn't have any sparkle to it anymore. Your bank account don't look like nothing. You can't enjoy your wife and your children anymore. There's one thought hounding you. One more breath, and you'll perish in the flames of hell. No hope, no repentance. As long as you feel like you can make a change, you're all right, my brother. But I want to tell you something. When you get to the place to where you think there's no hope, then you're terrified, then you're torn, then you're worried. And I got that way. And it went on for so long, many months. And finally, in my heart, I said, Lord, I can't stand it anymore. I said, I can't stand it anymore. I said, I'm breaking. I'm tearing apart. I said, you got to do something for me. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought His heavenly Spirit down. He broke the yoke and He moved the bondage and He rolled back the veil. And I felt light and I felt jubilant and I felt holy and I felt pure and I felt clean. My faith went back up and God revealed to me and made me to know that had not crossed over. And the tears rolled down my cheeks and I praised God. And I said, Lord, help me. I'll never play the hypocrite. I'll never, as long as I live, play around on you and go and come, God. But I'll do whatever's right. I'll try to do the things right, Jesus. And I tried it. God's my witness. I tried to be honest in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. I tried to keep my thoughts right, the meditation of my heart right. Because I know what awfulness it is. I know what a horrible feeling it is. And friend, tonight, I hope you never experience it. I hope you never experience it. The world is walking around out there tonight like on a thin layer of ice that may break through any minute. They're riding in their fine cars, living in their fine homes, got their dollar, their gold, and their silver. But like the rich man, the Bible said he died and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment by the flames, seeing Lazarus way over the gulf in the comfortable arms of Abraham. Hallelujah. Oh, brother Lazarus had been through the fire, laid there at the gate of the rich man, the dogs had come and licked the sores. Didn't have any good thing, but now he was comforted. And the Bible said the rich man looked across the great gulf And he said, I'm tormented in these flames. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. He said, let Lazarus come and just dip his finger in a little water. He said, and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in these flames. Old brother Abraham looked back and said, I'm sorry. In other words, if I wanted to come to you, there wouldn't be no way. He said, there's a great gulf between us, and I can't go down there, and you can't come up here. He said, old Lazarus said he had the bad things in his day, and you had the good things. But said, now Lazarus is comforted, and now are tormented. And he said, but Father Abraham, he said, I've got some brothers back yonder. I've got some kin folks back there, and they're living it up to Abraham. He said, they're living it up too. I've got some brothers back there, and they're living it up too. And they're riding their fine chariots, and they're having a good time. Abraham, they don't know what it's all about. Said, if you just let Lazarus go back there and tell them, Abraham said, it won't do any good. If he goes back there, they would never believe he rose from the dead. If I come here tonight and I'd risen from the dead, and you don't know whether I've ever been dead or not. But if I come here tonight and if I had risen from the dead and I told you about these things and told you that I'd rose from the dead, you wouldn't believe it. Said they won't believe it. Said if one rises from the dead and goes back there to give them a testimony, said they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. Isn't that right? Said they got the prophets. That is, they got the preachers. Said if they won't come out to a tent meeting, he said they wouldn't pay any attention to Lazarus. How do you know that Jesus raised the Lazarus from the dead one time? But did they believe him? They turned around and wanted to kill him again so the people wouldn't believe. That's the world for you. Love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We're going to sing a little chorus together. And while we're singing, I want you to come up here. While she's playing on the organ, let's everybody just gather around the altar for just a few minutes. Hallelujah, I feel God. I feel God, don't you? The Lord's here tonight. God wants to help you tonight. We've had just the small number. But Jesus is wanting to help you tonight. I want you to close your eyes. Lift your hands up. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. The Lord loves you. The Lord knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart. He does. You might not believe it, but He does. He does. He knows. We've had very few people here to minister to. And we've ministered a little bit here and there, trying to do what we could. Mostly just praying for the people as a group. I prayed for a man last night, was it, that was shot between the eyes. God healed that man last night. As sure as I live, God healed that man, and I'm going to hear from it. I'm going to hear from it. I want this young lady to come up here that's standing right here. God is really dealing with this woman's heart. I don't mean in any little way, but I mean in a great way God's dealing with this woman's heart. This woman's heart is literally bleeding to get in touch with God about some things. I mean her heart is crying out, it's bleeding. She needs help and needs a touch from God and needs strength. The woman wants to do what's right. She wants help. And I believe God will help her, don't you? Hallelujah. God is good. There's none good but God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to lay hands on her tonight. And I'm going to pray for her. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You believe the Lord will give you what you're looking for tonight. You believe He'll do it. I want you to pray with me. Father, Lord of heaven, Oh, I feel faith already, Jesus. By your Spirit, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that every yoke be broken. Hallelujah. Father, lift this faith up. Restore this faith, God, in a great way, Jesus. Oh, God, heal this body. Father, meet the needs of his heart. Lord God of his home. Oh, God, I pray that you restore Jesus in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, move the hindrance of this life. Move this hindrance that I feel in this life, Jesus. Father, the hindrance of this faith, I pray that you'd move it by your great Spirit tonight, Jesus. Come into this heart. Encourage this heart, Jesus. Give assurance here. I feel your Spirit. I feel the yoke breaking, Jesus. I feel the yoke breaking right now. I feel you moving, Lord. I feel something taking place, Jesus, right now. I ask in the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, that you minister to this heart. Lord, in the name of your Son tonight, I ask for your Spirit, Lord, to be here. Hallelujah. 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 I really felt God do something as we prayed. I felt a hindrance. I felt a hindrance, a wall that kept coming up, a hindrance. When I would pray, I felt faith. You got faith in God, and I could feel the Spirit of God. But there was a wall, there was a hindrance, something there that was discouraging. That was standing there in the way. But I believe God will break it down and completely take it out of the way. If you'll pray, believe God, hold on to God, He'll give you the size of your heart. You believe He will? I really believe that with my heart. Hallelujah. I prayed last night. This brother right here was really sick last night. I was really worried about him. And I went to God last night and I prayed. My wife will tell you. And I sobbed. I prayed and I said, Lord, heal Bill. Don't let nothing happen to Bill. I want you to heal him. And I believe he's feeling better today. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal Bill. Raise him up, God. Make him a great testimony. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd heal tonight. Oh, God, break the yoke. Jesus, restore Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God loves us, everyone, tonight, and He wants to do something for us. He'd like to do something for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if this elderly couple would come up tonight. Would you please, sir, come up tonight for just a moment? Please, yes, sir. You and the wife there, if you will, come up, please. Hallelujah. David said, I once was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God so he begged and begged. Hallelujah. 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 Come over here, please. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray. This mother is troubled tonight. This woman here is troubled. And I believe God will help her tonight. I believe God will strengthen her tonight. And I believe He'll do something for her. I remember one night under the tent, I was preaching, and the Lord drawed my attention to somebody over to the side of the tent. And I called him, and I said, I want you to come up here. I said, you're troubled tonight. I said, this is not an ordinary trouble. I said, it's not an ordinary thing. I said, this is something that's outstanding tonight that's tearing you up. And I said, I want to pray for you. And she looked up at me, and she said, Brother Pike, She said, my husband just committed murder. And said they got him up yonder in jail. And she was torn to pieces. God knows and God understands. I want you to pray with me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes. Lift our hands up. Heavenly Father, tonight as I lay my hands on this, these darling people, Father, oh, hallelujah, very precious, that's weathered the years. Oh, among the wind, young to the Most High, Father, in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit tonight, oh, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, comfort this heart tonight. Break every yoke, give this mother to the desire of the heart, Lord, this moment. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you'll correct the trouble. Heal the body, you'll make everything right. Jesus, bless this darling man here. This gentleman, Father, as he stands here tonight. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, break every yoke. Help him to be ready at that hour. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord. Let's lift our hands up tonight and love the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. Give me a little lower, sister. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you to help me with the trials I go through. Lord, Thou may be the night I can see a ray of light as I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Sing it with me. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.